It is good to see each one of you here tonight. Hope you've had a good week so far, and I hope your week continues to be good. If the first part's been good, sometimes it don't work that way. I understand that, too, but need to pray for the preacher. You know, of course, he got in touch with me this morning and said that he woke up last night coughing his head off and with a real bad sore throat. And then during the day today, he started running a fever. So pray for him and Miss Teresa. And understand that Brian Sides and his family are sick as well. And one of the girls, I know, tested positive for the flu. So pray for them as well. And I know there's a lot of people here that has loved ones and people that you know that are sick now. There's a lot of the flu going around. So we just need to be vigilant and make sure that we do everything we can to stay away from that. Of course, a lot of times you can't, but if you can wash your hands and keep your hands away from your eyes, nose, and mouth, most of the time you can get by it, and that's one of the best things to do, but it don't always work that way. And I want to remember our soup social on Tuesday night. We're back in service up from Wednesday night to Tuesday night, like we do each year, and have our soup social then. And just remember that. Also, Carrie's baby shower for chocolate chip. That'll be Sunday at between 4 and 5:30. So I want to remember that as well. Men's breakfast, prayer breakfast, December the 3rd. Be inviting somebody to come along with you. There'll be a sign-up sheet out there, so you can sign that and let us know how many's going to be there so we can make sure and have enough, but not way too much. So just take care of that, if you will. And Miss Brenda's brother's funeral will be the Friday after Thanksgiving. VA couldn't do anything before that, so that's when it'll be. And please pray for her and her family, and that the Lord will take care of them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then Brother Russell will lead us in the congregational. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you, Lord, we thank you for this, another opportunity to come back into thy house and worship you. Lord, we can't thank you enough for all your love and your mercy on us, your many, many, many blessings that you bestow upon us. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us, Lord, and we pray that you would just help us to be mindful of thee and take every opportunity that we can to tell others about you, Lord, and be a good witness for you. Lord, I just pray that you would just be with us tonight, and just as Brother Rick preaches, Lord, pray that you would just preach through him, Lord, and give us what we stand in need of, Lord, just that we would go out and tell others about you, and that this world would get back to you, Lord. We pray for our soldiers and wherever they are. Lord, we pray that you would just watch over and care for them and keep them out of harm's way. And Lord, just pray that you'd get a hold of our leaders' hearts and just help them, Lord, to get back to you, Lord, and lead us in the right direction and not in the way that we're going now. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, and we pray that you'd just help us be what we ought to be. For it's in Christ Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
All right, let's all stand up. Turn to number 180. Number 180. Hey, Bill. Okay, we'll do all three verses. So here we go.
Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Who go and help this shepherd kind? Help him the wandering ones to find. Who bring the lost ones to the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold. Bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Out in the desert, hear their cry, out on the mountains wild and high. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee. Go find my sheep where'er they be. Bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus.
Amen. You can be seated.
Also, all those that have agreed to bake cakes for the fundraiser for Salem, please bring your cakes on the Friday after Thanksgiving by 4 p.m. so Michelle can get those and take them where they need to be. So please, if you signed up to bake a cake, have them here at 4. So Miss Michelle, on Friday after Thanksgiving, so Michelle can get those. So I'll turn the service over to Brother Rick to give us what the Lord has given him for us.
Up here. Yeah. Well, knock it off somewhere. Well, it's good to see you here on this Wednesday evening. And we'll miss our preacher. Hope you do. I said, oh no, Hildebrand's back. I heard that before, but anyway. All right, if you turn your Bibles tonight to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3, we'll look there for some thoughts this evening, trying to encourage our hearts into some things. And if you find your place there in Thessalonians, find your place in Acts chapter number 17, if you will. That will be in reference to this 1 Thessalonians, a book that said that it is the first letter that Apostle Paul wrote. And so the churches of Macedonia is this church of Thessalonica. And we're going to see some things in this chapter number 3. I hope it'll be an encouragement and help to you. The very first verse there says, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. And that word forbear comes up twice in this chapter, down in verse number 5. And for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor would be in vain. That word forbear is what jumped out at my heart and helped. I wanted to just kind of study over that thing. And what was the forbearer's longing is what I titled the message this evening. Someone, the forbearer, is someone that pauses or he's delayed or he has to stay somewhere for a while. And the forebearer sometimes is a pastor. He comes and stays here for a while. And he spends time with the church. And that's what Paul was at a place. And we'll flip back to Acts chapter 17 over there. And why he was being forbeared to be able to go back to Thessalonica. Longing is something that is an earnest desire. Having a craving or an appetite for. And I know our preacher is exactly that. He has an appetite to give you what God's given him. And he waits before the Lord and he's desiring something from God for the people of God, not for him. Some people think the preacher's just studied just for him. And it ought to be that. But what God gives him ought to be a desire, as I can say. These words jump out at me. That's Brother White had some topics and stuff kind of jump out at him. And he wants to feed the flock of God to be a help to the people of God. Here in the book of Acts, chapter number 17, gives the history of this Thessalonica church. And I want you to see that so you can get the picture in your heart and in your mind that you might know about this book of Thessalonians. Now, when they had passed, verse number 1 said, "Well, now when they had passed through that big old word and that other big old word that I can't pronounce, they came to Thessalonica, which was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them and 3 days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and legending that Christ must have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ." He said in 1 Corinthians over, he said, "Hey, so I'm going to deliver unto you first of all that which I also received. Now that Christ died for my sins according to the Scripture. He was buried and he rose again the third day. He preached that everywhere he went." That is the gospel. And that ought to be every preacher's desire. It ought to be every person's desire. Today, I was Miss Judy and I, we stopped and got gas. We delivered some Bibles down at Raleigh to a guy out there on Manio who was needing some of our first responders Bibles. I carried him 5 cases out there, but I stopped and got gas at a pilot station. Now, I'm always a good agitator, and I just kind of was picking with some girls back behind the counter there, just saying a few little odd in things, and then I paid for what we'd got, and I gave her a gospel tract. She said, "I don't need that." And I said, "Well, yes, ma'am, I believe you do." And I said, it behoove you to take this thing and have read it. And she looked at me a little bit and she said, "Yeah, I believe it will." She changed her mind that quick and she thought about this. She said a phrase back to me. She says, "I keep on hearing people saying he's coming." And he is coming. That girl had more piercing through the lip, nose, ears, and tattoos all over. And here's what she said. She said, I want to live to be as old as you are." I said, "Thank you, ma'am." I said, "And the only way you're going to be able to do that is to trust the Christ to that tract right there, the gospel that Christ died for your sins." And I said, "He'll give you life." And a black girl sitting over on the side over there, and she's over there grinning, nodding her head. She didn't say that, but she's nodding her head. She understood what I was saying. And the world does too. But whether accepted or not, that is sometimes don't happen. That's what Paul was here to this place and entered that synagogue. And he, when he entered in, he reasoned with the people, the gospel. And some of them believed, verse number 4, and consorted with Paul and Silas and other devout Greeks, a great multitude of the chief women, not a few. There was a multitude of people that heard the gospel and responded to it. Greeks. Now watch him as he goes down through and Acts is telling us about that. And went verse number 6, and when they had found them, back up verse number 5, but the Jews, there we go, that religious crowd that was there, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows and baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city in an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain of the brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These have turned the world upside down. Have come hither also." That ought to be said everywhere we travel. Come on. Every child of God ought to have that in your heart. Now, you ought to have that testimony that this outfit right here is always coming around stirring up things about this thing of Jesus. Every child of God ought to have that in your heart. You don't need to sit back there and look. That ought to be just the preacher and the missionary's job. It ought to be every child of God's job, if that's what we want to put it at, or be a desire. Just tell everybody about it and make difference. And that goes down through there, tells these things about what took place in this thing right here to lead us up to this chapter number 3. But it's a whole book of 1 Thessalonians. And in this chapter number 3 is what I want to bring out to us tonight. It's this longing that a forbearer ought to have. And that ought to be anybody that there again is sharing the gospel of Christ. It ought to be something down in your soul that you're longing for. And God ought to put that there. You ought to have a desire to have it there. I chuckle so many times. I said, when Miss Judy and I got saved, and that Southern Baptist church up there, we had been saved just a couple months. And they had nobody to teach a little class down there, so they stuck Miss Judy and I down there in these little kids' classes. I didn't know squat about this Bible. Nothing. But that was the best thing for Miss Judy and I, because we got in this book and we got stories out of this book that we went back on Sunday morning telling them little kids about what we learned in this Bible ourselves. Them kids didn't know squat about this Bible either, so we just always learning together. I think about what God wants to do in every one of our lives. Every one. I look back on that, chuckle about that thing. I said, God knows what He was doing back then. He still knows what He's doing today. And He places us in the places that He places us in for a purpose. It will be what we need to be for the Savior. Paul's writing to these people here, and he says that down in verses number 2, verse number 5, and verse number 10, he uses a phrase. And when Timotheus, our brother, the minister of God, and a fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and comfort you in concerning your faith. And in verse number 5, he says, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor would have been in vain. Over in verse number 10, he says, now, night and day I prayed exceedingly that ye might see your face and it might be perfect that which is lacking in your faith. He had a desire to be with the people there. And he said these things. He said, I want to see something that makes difference. And he said, what makes the difference? You better mark some things down in your own personal life. What makes a difference in your life is your faith believing God. Oh, you believe in religion. There's a lot of religious folk out there. That's what they believe in. Yeah, and they think that makes some things all right. But no, Paul had a desire right here, this faith right here that made difference in this church. What started there in that bunch of Greeks over he preached to there in the book of Acts, he said it made difference here in their life. And that. it gets. And I said, here I am down the end of this road. I feel like I just got started. My salvation felt like it was yesterday. I thought that Sunday school class just the day before yesterday. I just think these things just happen so quickly, come down through this time right here. But as God understands where we are in our life, it has to have some endurance in our personal life. What began in 1975 on that football field, that happened before that period of time, but I had no concept of about this thing about believing God and faith in God and stuff like that. But on that football field that made that difference, that little dab of something that I come in my personal life of looking up to God and said, God, I'm needing help. My first turning to Him started something in that period of time. And I'm saying every child of God ought to have something that has a beginning, and you see that beginning, you remember that beginning, and you see something coming down through here that's making something, a faith that is established. As Paul writes to them people out there, he said, lest the tempter come. I think he's come to a lot of folk. And I think he's deterred a lot of people in our day. Because he's come and your faith, believing God, has got so thin. Do you believe this book? Do you read the book? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God said, do you remember the children of Israel over here and all that they went through and all that they came down through there? And what, you know what God said about them? He said they've become stiff-necked and hard-hearted because they would not follow Him. And He said, I keep all them pestilence and all that other stuff all away from you if you just believe me. Do you believe that? Them Quaker doctors down there and them so-called Quaker doctors down there and them P, I don't know what them other folks is that works with them doctors down there because they didn't quite make being a doctor and so they got them other P-somethings in there and they send that place in there and they try to mock and comment what somebody else has said to them. I'm talking about them drug lords that come in there before you get there. Are you listening to me? That's what our nation has become. Bunch of drug pushers pushing drugs because they don't know how to heal nothing. Are you listening? You don't believe it. You're sitting there looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. I'm saying that's our society. Because we have thrown this Bible down and we don't want to trust the God of this Bible and the God of this health that He's given to us and believe this book. To believe what God said in that thing, He said, "I've gave every herb and every little old plant out there for your healing. If you'll just listen to me and go to it, He said it." But you think them doctors going to give it to you? Holistic? They ain't holistic. They drugistics. Get on back on this Bible over here. Faith that endures. A beginning faith. Believing that God is able to do what He said He'd do. A building faith. He says there in verse number 2 and 7. Something that needs to be built on. He said, when I sent Timotheus, our brother, the minister of God, and our fellow labor in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, to comfort you, concerning your faith. He said, I sent him there as a young man. He's to preach this word and teach this word to build you up in that most holy faith. And that thing of building something in your life. Is your faith building day by day, month by month, year by year? Faith. Jude 20 says, but ye beloved, build up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. How do you build up yourself? It's to get in this book is the main object that God's left us. A preservation of some words in this thing that are God's words. And you can say whatever you want to. Just if you just spend your time just reading over these words, then you've got a problem there too. Oh, reading's good. Yes, I agree with you on that. Just reading it is good. It's taking some things in. But does God ever stop you at times and make you wonder why that word's there that He said that and they said it that way and say, God, why? It ain't catching God off guard. God's wanting to help you. He knows how ignorant I am, and so I had to come to Him wondering, why, God, you put this up in here, and it said this way you did. I want to know, God, because I want to walk with you closer and by your side nearer and have more faith in you day by day. Please, God, help me to have an understanding of what you're trying to say. And I think that's much about Miss Judy and teaching me to look up them words whenever I started learning how to read. I'm grateful for that. That marks some things down in my personal life and my personal hunger for this Bible. And I think every child of God ought to have that. You ought to understand what does God mean? What does God want you to be? Does He mean in this passage of Scripture? Psalms 118, verse number 8 said it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Proverbs 3:26 says, "For the Lord shall be thy confidence." Is He? Or are you more confident in the Democratic way and the Republican way or some of them other ways they got going on there? Come on. If you listen to the news and TV garbage more than you read your Bible, then you got a problem. A real problem. Somebody asked me, said, "Did you hear that?" I said, "No, I don't hear that on the news. I don't listen to it." Why? Liar, liar, liar. The pants is on fire. They're so many big liars. I wonder what God says. My faith is settled and my confidence is settled and something is settled. My nerves are settled. I don't look at the society and all the mess that goes on there. I understand what's taking place up there. I'm not totally ignorant of it, but I'm saying to you, you're not going to change that trash that's going on up there. You will not. Jesus did not. And you will not, Congress will not, the world will not. It's going down the road that He's already said she's going to go down. And that girl was right. She's lost and she understood. Well, people have to understand more than what we think they do, don't they? That kind of got me off guard. Somebody been talking. I was hoping to fan the fire just a little bit more today. I don't know why I want her faith to build, that she be able to come to a place to trust the Christ for that salvation. And establish faith, he says down in verse number 5, that makes that difference. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means a tempter have tempted you, and my labor would have been in vain. It's sad to see our the religious, I'm putting it that way, saved folk that sometimes it's no longer sitting in the house of God because they let the tempter come and they're sitting on the sidelines today, not even caring about being in the house of God no more. Paul said, "I want their faith to be established night and day." He said, "I prayed exceedingly." Verse number 10, that I might see your face and I might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. You know, I don't know what's the need that you have in your heart and your life, but you know, it's not no happen chance that God gives a passage of Scripture and we be able to come here and give it to you. It's not no happen chance that takes place. God has more understanding of what's going on in this room than I ever did. I look at faces, but that's as far as I can get. But I'm saying God knows what's down in the heart and what He's put in my heart with this passage of Scripture and dealt with my life about. I'm no different than nobody else. I'm needing help. I want to stay established in my faith. I want it to be perfected. That's maturing day by day that my life will be counted for something. Psalms 18:30 says, as for God, His ways is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, and He is a buckler to all those that will trust in Him. Come on now. So many, I'm chuckling because a thought went through my head right there. You are society today, don't you? Buckler. Buckle. You know, they see them, their pants are dragging. Come on now. That's why the world is living today. Their pants are dragging. Because the world don't know how to have that buckler to make that difference. The Lord says he can be tried. He is a buckler. The Lord will perfect that which is concerning me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endure forever. Forsake not thy work. For thy works of thy hands. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a measure of stature, of fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sly of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You better mark that down. That is 2022. That's our nation. You got the all kinds of so-called churches out there, don't you? The ocean, the lake, and the bridge, and all kinds of stuff out there. And not one of them, not a one of them hold to the King James Bible. Southern Baptists, but back us up. You don't have to go all the way to the Southern Baptists. I'm talking about independent Baptists. There's a lot of independent Baptist church pastors and churches have left this King James Bible. A lot. All the denominationals is gone. You know why? Read Jeremiah. Read Ezekiel. you're reading about the Jew over there, but I promise you, you're reading about America. What they did is what we're doing. Leaving God. My thoughts on this thing is, here's establish your faith. Where is your faith at? Is it established? Are you established? Are you wavering? Do you even carry a Bible? Oh, I got one out of the pew. Really? I'm going on, Miss Judy. She told me not to be mean. He talks about in his passage scripture, the forbearance long and is a love that is secured. A love that is secured. Verse number 6. He said, but now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought unto us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have great remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. In verse number 12, he goes down, he says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Paul had a love for them people. I don't know what brought him in this little town of Thessalonica. He was on his missionary journey. As soon as he stopped, his habit was going to the temple. He spent 3 days in that place right there teaching about Jesus Christ. And the multitudes that came to him of the Greeks and said, "Hey, we heard these things. Hey, we believe it." You know this Thessalonians right here was the first place that Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ was ever first mentioned. Dealing with the deity that Jesus Christ was the Lord. Them Jews had no understanding. That's what riled them all up. They didn't believe in this Jesus Christ. And so these Greeks heard this thing and said they didn't know nothing about it because the Jews wouldn't tell them a thing about Jesus Christ. And he came into his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. There they started believing. So they had the multitudes believe. And Paul said, "Wow, what is this going on over here?" When the gospel was preached, multitudes heard. And the rest of them religious crowd over there, the unbelievers, wouldn't want to believe that Jesus Christ was Lord. Is He Lord in your life? That means love. If He's Lord in your life, you got a love for Him. And Paul had that understanding, and he's seen these people right here, and they trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and a security that came down in their heart and life. We believe that report that you give them in the gospel. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have all the religion other than what them Jews had. And all that religious Sunday morning glory stuff that they had went on day by, every week, every Saturday, they come on that morning glory stuff. Open up at 11, close at 12. You know how a lot of religious folk are today. That's the only time they need God's on Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. Paul said to these people right here, he says, he got a memory that lasts in verse number 6. A memory. Chapter 1 and verse number 3 of 1 Thessalonians, he said, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and patience of hope and in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and of our Father." He said, "I remember without ceasing how you've turned to God." There will be an outside of every one of us, our testimony, not a testimony, but our testimony among the world out there of what we believe and how we believe and how we're still walking today makes a big difference. Because they're watching. Day by day, they see. They drive by. They see these guys sitting out here on a side road out there, but they drive by and they see who's sitting in the parking lot. You believe they know your car? Oh, yeah. They know us. The world knows us. Proverbs 10:7 says, "The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot." I remember the day of old. Psalms 143, verse number 5. "I remember the days of old and meditate on all my works. I mused on the work of thy hands." Do you meditate on God that way? I chuckle. Every morning, I'm reading my Bible. I set my wicker chair at the window with a lamp on. That mutt Miss Judy got. I don't know why she likes me more than she likes her. But every morning, I get down there and I'm sitting down there with my Bible and I'm trying to read. And here she comes up, jumps up on my lap, lops down here on my arm, and sits there, looks out that window, and this sits there. And I'm reading my Bible out loud. She just looks out the window. I said, "Lord, I'm hoping that's the way I feel in your arms." I said, "That pup loves me." That's lifelong. But some of them say, "But lifelong." I said, "God, I hope I've got that much for you. I sat and read my Bible, meditate in the Scriptures. I know dog don't get nothing, but she wants to be there laying in my lap looking out that window as I read. There will be in every person's heart. You sit down and read, there will be some memories that last. To your children, to your grandchildren. I got memories of Mom and Dad. Every morning, when Dad got cancer, I'd go up there and I'd shave him when I was in home. But every morning, him and Mama were sitting at the little square table that we eat off of, every one of us youngins, every morning. And still, Mama, 94, 92, whatever Mama is, she getting up there. But that's the first place. She wants that Bible. Do you have any memories? You kids, you got any memories? Just TV programs? Memories that last. A growth that is constant. In verse number 12, he says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. There ought to be something. It's in our heart and our life, a growth that is consistently, day by day, continue on growing. And Paul said this language is something that should be abounding in you. And he said, that's what he was wanting for that church of Thessalonica. And it's exactly what took place. It abounded. It made difference in all of Macedonia. The first missionaries went out of Macedonia. Now, it made difference. A constant growth. In verse number 7, he talked about this thing about in holiness. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all your afflictions and distress and by your faith. It ought to be something that it is always abounding in our personal life. In holiness, living for God. For now we live, if we stand fast in the Lord of holiness. Being holy, being what God would have us to be, and brotherly love. In verse number 9, he said, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all your joy wherewith we joyed, and for your sake before our God. A love that they had for the Savior, a brotherly love that they enjoyed Him being what He was to them, thanking God for everything that God had taught them, increasing more and more in love. Talks about walking honestly toward all men. Verse number 12, he said, for the Lord make you increase and bound in love, one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. There ought to be that walking in honesty, a consistent, a constant growth. This thing of it says in verse number 12, the latter part of it, he uses some words there that kind of jumped out again me again. He said, the Lord make you that you increase and bound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. That word toward just kept on jumping out. There will be something that concerning this thing of two. He said, it's always was toward them right there. There will be this thing concerning in us. What are we wanting for someone else? Do you learn some things at church that you might be able to go out and tell somebody else? That's what the folks at the workplace, whenever I got saved, I started learning Brother Ernie Bartlett. I started going to the workplace and I started telling them exactly what I learned in Sunday school. To those that work beside me, they stick somebody with me, and I just tell them what I learned in Sunday school. They didn't want to hear it, but I wanted to tell it. So I just told it to everybody around me. Everybody said, hey, Hildebrand, just keeps on talking about Jesus, that Bible. That ought to be a desire in every person's heart. Your mouth ought to run about what the Savior means to you. A desire that someone else knows what you know about your Savior. How much in love are you? You won't talk about everything else. Your guns, your cars, your everything else besides Him. Is your love secure? Makes you wonder. When you'd rather talk about everything else besides Him. It will be in your heart and your life just to talk about Him. Romans 5:8, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You remember the preacher preaching on that the other week? That's my favorite verse. That's what he said ought to be everybody's favorite verse. But it's mine. Mr. Bartlett brought that out, and I underlined it in my Bible. That's one of my first Bible verses. God came to me on that old football field, commended His love toward me while I was yet a sinner. 1 Thessalonians 4:12, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Walking honestly. That's why I talk about the Lord. That's why I said it today to that young girl. He ain't just passing out tracks. I like passing out tracks, but I like to run my mouth about the Savior. And every child of God ought to have that in your life. You ought to just have a bad case of running off at the mouth. Easy now, come on. Every child ought to have that. Making difference in the world is what he's talking about. A heart that is established in verse number 13. He said that to this end we may establish your hearts in unblameable and holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of His saints. A heart that is established. How should it be established? It'll be established by God, He said right there. He said, may be established your heart of unblameable and holiness, but before God. It ought to be something in your personal life. You ought to get your life established. You know how your life is before the Father. Making difference. Not sometimes in the world, but sometimes in your relationship. As I said, sitting there in the mornings with that dog in my arm, my life said, my heart's desire that I would be in God's arms like that dog wants to be in my arms. I want to be in His arms. That I want to be established with Him. That my heart's desire is toward Him. And it ought to be in every child of God that your heart's desire is that you be established by God in Him. Because I'm saying this whole world wants to turn us ever which way besides God's way. You mark her down, the days are going to continue on getting worse. If that bill so-called passed, that gay marriage garbage up there of protecting wedding or marriages, I said, protect what? God established something. He ain't changed His mind about it. It's already established, and I'm not moving from it. I'm not going to turn from it. I can't go preaching what I'm preaching here in the prison house, but I promise you, one-on-one, I'll show enough tell them. And they're full. And these young people still coming in that place are no different than the older ones that's already in there. And I'm saying our nation is turning to that, and young people are turning to that because they have no concept of what God says. Because nobody will tell them. I'm talking about God's people should be telling it. Heart established by God in holiness. He said there in that passage of Scripture, unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at His coming. Holy. Pure. Integrity of moral character. There will be something inside of us, our lives, or have a desire that we want to get away from all the wickedness we can get away from. I understand that this world is what it is. Billboards, garbage is in this world. It all has effect. But I promise you, my bath is every day, sometimes twice a day, to wash the trash out because I don't want my mind thinking the way this whole world's thinking. And that's all it wants to do is get us warped up going the opposite way of what God says for us to go. That's holiness. There ain't a group of church folk out there called holiness. No, I want to be holy before my Father in heaven. But I want to have a heart like my Savior had. And go to them that are down and those that are out. And I want to go stand by their side. And I want to be like that one to go by and pick them up out of the ditches and make that difference in their personal life. I want to be that, what the Savior was. And have it in love. Loving this old world. It's got so many people warped up. But loving the Savior, Deuteronomy says in chapter six, verse number five, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. God told them children of Israel over, He said, that's what I want. I want you to love me. You think it's strange that the Savior would come over in Matthew chapter number 22? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Old, new. God ain't changed. God's desiring our hearts and our lives to be in love with Him. Romans 5 and 5 says, a hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That I like that word hope He put in there. The hope maketh not ashamed. That's not 20th century hope. I'm talking about the hope that God has planted down this book right here. It is a known soul, a desire, a look ahead, knowing that something God's got laid out ahead of us, and a surety that I'm heading to that place. He's going to give it. That's the hope. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 16 through 19, he says that He would grant unto you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in that inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted, grounded in love, that ye may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what God wants. Is your cup running over? Our lives ought to be that. Ought to be something running out, just oozing out. It ought to be like Jesus said, I told that woman, said, there'll be a river of water running out of you. And she dropped that pot. She said, I don't need that no more. I got my bucket full. She took off back to town and said, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. It's not this the Christ. She got the whole town come running down there, and them old disciples running out trying to feed Jesus. Jesus said, I got meat that you know not of. Lift up your eyes, look upon the field. They are white unto harvest. I'm saying to you and I, lift up your eyes. The fields are white in the harvest. God wants us to get to the field and share that gospel that Christ died for your sins, making that difference. Well, Peter says in 1 Peter 1:22, seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, seeing that ye love one another with a pure heart and fervently. Jesus said in John chapter number 13, verse number 35, said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if. That's a big word in the English language. If you have love one to another. God wants us to live according to this book. God wants us to have everything that He's got. The question is, do you want it? The inheritance is there. You can have all you want to have. Paul was a desire for that church of Thessalonica. said, you've got some things. So I'm sorry I can't be there. I said, I had to be over here. They run me off over here at Athens, but I sent that young Timothy over there. And that boy's coming back and telling me, he said, man, I'm telling you, y'all listen to everything I've got. Y'all got it running over. He said, I'm hoping to be able to get over there and help to secure some things. That you fail not. And that's my desire. I want every child of God that names the name of Christ not to fail Him. And when you get to that seat of Christ, we're going to be judged in that day. You can be able to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want you to hear. Let's stand to our feet. Father, thank you for this precious book, Lord, you kept us, preserved it, made it easy reading the fifth and sixth grade as we would rank it today in our society. Grateful, our Father, that you preserved it and kept it for us. Lord, we have something to go to. Know it is thus, saith the Lord. I pray, our Father, Lord, that you'd help your children to hunger and thirst after righteousness. As you said there in the book of Matthew, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So I pray, our Father, Lord, that you help your people to get hungry. Hungry for you. Hungry to be around you. Hungry to be around God's people. Hungry to help some sinner to come to know you as their Savior. As we know you as our Savior. Bless, we pray, in these days, we pray, our Father. Make difference in us, dear God, we pray. We might leave this place, or change, challenge, dear God, to be more like you instead of more like the world. Oh, we sure thank you for it. His bound eyes closed. Sing a song tonight. If you want to come around this altar, it's open. You're not going to dwell here forever.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
His way.
Thou art the potter.
Not our way, His way.
I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy
altar tonight.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Is it your desire to come?
Have thine own
a time
way.
Say, Father, help me.
Search me and
try me. Did you
point
anything out in your life tonight, or are you just satisfied the way you are?
Master, today, whiter than snow, Lord. Wash me just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Do you need to come around this altar?
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
God's dealing with somebody. I want God to get
hold
over
my being, absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always.
thank you for that message, Brother Rick. And pray that you'll take it and use it in our daily lives. And as we enter into our prayer time, you know, I like to run back to Psalms 91 a lot, where it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." My question is who are you trusting in? Your trust in Him can never fail you, because He will never fail you. I will, but He won't. And that's a chapter in the Bible that I really like and I go to quite often. And so we'll go to our prayer time now. Need to pray for the preacher. You know, our pastor really hates it whenever he's not able to be here, because his desire is to be here all the time and to feed the flock. I'm thankful that we have a pastor that sticks with this King James Bible. He don't deviate from it. Every scripture that he reads, you can turn to, and it's right there. And I don't know about you, but the studies that he's been doing, I've been getting a whole lot from. It helps me a lot. And believe me, I need that help. So we need to continue to pray for him and pray for Brian's family, that they'll get over this sickness. Please pray for Miss Brenda and the death for brother, and that the Lord will, I know he'll watch over and take care of them, and pray that they will feel his presence there. And for Jennifer Cheshire, please pray for her and the treatments that she's going to have to go through, and pray for the Lord will take care of that. Pray for Donnie and Tony over there in Kuwait, and Tony's ear infection. It's some better now, and we do appreciate the prayers that's been up for her, but continue to pray for her, if you will. And Denise and Sheldon, you know, I don't like to single people out, but Brother Sheldon is one amazing person. You know, I know if Miss Denise could get up, and her and Sheldon would be sitting right back there, there would be no question in my mind about that they would be there. Both of them are amazing people, and I know you probably, like I am, whenever you're sick or something and you can't get out of the house, that's when you want to get out of the house the most. I can't stand being in the house. I like to get out. But please pray for them, and pray that the Lord will watch over and care for them and supply their each and every need. And continue to pray for Bill Henderson. I made a phone call, but I didn't get an answer there. I was trying to find out how Brother Bill was doing, but if I'm able to find out, I'll let y'all know. And for Terry Tatum and his situation there, please pray for him as well. And I want to pray for Kathy Dearman's health, Glenda Kennedy health, Tina Godby health and salvation, and Gail Meisenhammer health, John and Johnny Lingle, sick with the flu. Pray for them. No flu bugs going around. I mean, really bad. And for Salem Collins, and Salem is the young 15-year-old that has the situation there with her legs. And please pray for her that she'll get the treatment that she needs as well. And Grant Hagler, bladder cancer. Grant is someone Brother Rick and I grew up with, and of course I know Grant loves the Lord. I know that. I've talked to him about it, and I know that he does. And he said, "I'm not scared." He said, "The Lord's going to take care of it one way or the other." And he will. But let's pray that the Lord will touch him and heal him if it's his will. And I know that every one of us has something that we need to pray about. And with a show of hands, how many of us need prayer? I believe that's everybody. I know I do, and I covet your prayers. So if you will, meet us at the altar, and we'll pray here. And if you can't come to the altar, you're welcome to stay there in your seat. Also, pray for Karen Knox. Karen Knox has cancer as well, and she needs prayer. What's her name? That's so, Haley. Canada. Okay. Let's pray for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear, kind, and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you in a moment of prayer, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy on us. And Lord, we do pray for Kathy Dearman, Lord, that and her health, that you would watch over and care for her and supply her needs, and for Glenda Kennedy's health, Tina Godby, health and salvation, and for Gail Meisenhammer. Lord, I pray that you'd just touch her and give her good health and supply her each and every need. And for John and Johnny Lingle, homesick with the flu, we pray, Lord, that you would just touch them and heal them. And for Salem Collins and her CRPS, Lord, I know that you have all healing power, and you can reach down from heaven and touch her and heal her. If it's your will, Lord, we pray that it is, and that you would touch this young lady and heal her from this disease. And Lord, we pray for Brother Terry Tatum and his dizziness, Lord, from his sugar problem there. Lord, we pray that you just help him through that as well. And for Grant Hagler, Lord, his bladder cancer, pray that you'd touch him and heal him, Lord, and just supply his needs, Lord. And for Haley Canada, Lord, pray that you would just touch her and heal her, and guide the doctors in her treatment as well, Lord. And we pray for Brother Bill Henderson, Lord, that you would just continue to strengthen him and supply his each and every need, Lord. I pray that you'd do that. Brother Sheldon and Miss Denise, Lord, I pray, God, that you would just supply their needs in every way, Lord. I pray that you would just show them that you're right there with them, Lord, and just draw up close to them and let them feel your presence. Lord, we pray for Donnie and Tony there in Kuwait. Lord, we pray that you'd supply their needs and for Tony and her infection there. Lord, pray that you'd just take that away from her and just supply her each and every need. And Lord, for Jennifer Cheshire and her cancer situation there and the treatments that she's going to have to go through, pray that you just touch her and heal her body and supply her needs. And Lord, for Brian and his family, Lord, pray that you just touch them and heal their body and supply their needs. And for Miss Brenda and the passing of her brother, Lord, pray that you just be with her and the family there and comfort them during this time, Lord, and just supply their needs. And Lord, for our preacher, Lord, we pray that you would just touch his body and heal him, Lord, and give him a good night's rest tonight, Lord, and that he would feel better tomorrow. And Lord, I pray that you would just have your will and your way in our lives, Lord, that we might live for you and let others see you in us, Lord, and help us to take every opportunity that we have to tell others about you. We can't thank you enough for your love and mercy on us, and can't thank you enough for our church and everyone here, Lord. I do pray for the ones that were able to be here tonight, Lord. We pray that you just give each one a special blessing for coming this way. And Lord, for those that would have loved to have been here that were not able to, we pray for them as well, Lord, that you would just supply their each and every need. Go with us from here to our homes or prospective places, wherever we're going. Keep us safe that we might come back into thy house and worship you. We thank you for the message tonight, Lord, and we pray that you'd help us to use it in our daily lives and our walk with you. For it's in Christ Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.